Perhaps the herd of folks on both sides of the GMO food fight is thinning a bit. At yesterday's hearing, only about 70 turned up to testify, compared to 600 last time around. But dairy farmer Steve Whitesides was there, and he says the bill to promote GMOs outright, or to prohibit GMOs outright, passes, then he can't grow the GMO corn feed, and he'll just have to import it. And that will mean higher prices for him and for consumers. Steve Whitesides joins us now from his farm in Idaho. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. Now, you've got farms in Hawaii and in Idaho. Dare we ask you in which place it's more difficult for you to operate?
Well, we're just having a learning experience in Hawaii. We've only been there 2 years as of December. And so we've been operating in Idaho for over 35 years.
So with that just little bit of time that you've been spending here, has it been enough to make you say that perhaps you don't want to be in Hawaii, given the fact that we have this raging fight over GMOs and the way you feed your cattle?
Well, it's certainly something that we did not bargain for when we came over there. We looked into the papaya industry, and we see that they were using GMO products, and the previous owners were using GMO corns. And so in the mainland, that is very much a way of doing business, and we feel it's a very safe and productive way to produce food. The USDA, the universities, and American Medical Associations all support the safe side of GMO products. And as a farmer, we have learned to use less chemical and products on our fields, with the ability to use the herbicides and the pesticides that the GMO corn provides us.
We've heard that argument, Steve, from many different farmers who say, you know, this is the way we've chosen to go. This is the way that's economically feasible for us and the way that's going to produce more food for the world. And yet those people who do not want to have GMO food or don't want to have GMO ingredients in their food are appalled. It's a very emotional argument. And right now that's seeing evidence in these two bills on the Big Island. What will happen if one of them should pass for you?
Well, I guess, first of all, I respect all people's opinions, you know, and so, you know, if a person chooses not to use a GMO product, that's their choice. But on the same side, I think where it is approved and supported by our agencies that I've just mentioned, I think that's our choice to be able to use that. So now if this is passed and on the Big Island, it changes our abilities to farm there. Number one, as you all know, being in Hawaii, that things grow very rapidly. And that was a benefit for us to come there, to put in a corn crop. We get up to three crops a year of corn, which is a big benefit to grow our own corn and to feed our dairy cows, and it makes it so that we can make sustainable milk on the island. If we didn't have that ability to grow that corn in that fashion, I don't know that we could afford to be in Hawaii and ship all products over to be fed to our dairy cows.
Because if you had to import feed here, For one thing, it could very well be feed that was GMO feed, which might defeat the purpose for some people who don't want to have any sort of GMOs in milk production at all. But more importantly for you, if you had to ship that feed over here, it would mean a higher cost to you and consequently to consumers, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you look at the dairy industry in Hawaii, you have two dairy farmers that are on the island today. Used to be several dairy farmers that were on the island. But the biggest issue is the transportation of shipping feed over to the islands. We looked at this as an opportunity to come to Hawaii and to locate in an area where we could grow our crops, because that's our expertise here on the mainland, is to raise a crop that would be able to provide animal feed and produce milk from this animal feed to supply the islands with fresh milk.
When we talked to Councilwoman Willie, She said that she knew of one dairy farmer who would be willing to switch to non-GMO feed, but that obviously doesn't include you. Have you had any discussions with her?
I have not had any discussions with her. I have had several discussions with different people that call me on the situation. And as I said before, I respect their opinion, but I do, on the same aspect, believe it's our right to do what we're doing at this time.
So, Steve, why not advocate for that?
If there's any feed being shipped over from the mainland, it will have GMO products in it. I don't know how you would go about delivering feed to the island, especially grains, because that's where it is the hardest to grow on the island, and that's why corn works. That 88% of the grain crop is a GMO product. And if you go into GMO itself, do you consider a hybrid a GMO product? That's a big question I have is as these bills are looking towards this, are they saying that a hybrid corn is a GMO product, or where's the limit to what is a GMO product?
Are those questions, though, that should be directed toward the council from you? Because you say you're not really engaging in this, and yet this has tremendous impact on your business in Hawaii, should it pass?
Oh, definitely. You know, we have had support from the state and and believe me, we're engaged in it. I shouldn't say that we're not engaged in it, but we're in the process of building and we're in the process of starting a new business in Hawaii. And to jump into the middle of a process like this, it takes time and energy, which is important. And that's why I'm on the phone with you today, is to voice our opinion of we need to be sustainable in Hawaii, and in order to operate under the model that we are creating, we need the ability to use safe products, as GMO has been known for. And until there's comes a time that says it isn't safe, and then we are very good stewards of the land, and if that's the case, there'll be technology out there that says replace it with this. But to say you're done with GMO, I don't know that that's even possible.
All right, Steve. Well, we're going to wait and see what happens tomorrow, when most likely the council will be taking this up again. And I'm sure you'll be watching closely, even if you are over there in Idaho. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Beth Ann, for having me on.
Steve Whitesides has been a dairy farmer for 35 years in Idaho, the last two, including in Hawaii. He farms with two of his five children, and in partnership with his nephew, the Hawaii farm produces 6,500 gallons of milk every day of the year. He'd like his farm to be a bright spot for Hawaii agriculture, though he's told us that with the fight over GMO feed and produce crops, well, that could dim his farm's future. More about it is on HPR2.org.